take away this yellow back until it'll be in the camera. What?
Double tap to unlock. What's that?
No, it's okay. You look very good sitting down.
I can't do this. It says double tap to unlock. What does that mean?
I don't know.
So, says the Chofetz Chaim, our limit of the Chofetz Chaim, Hilchos Lashon Hara, is the Schus Refua of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla Pesoich Shor Chayli Yisrael. So, the Chofetz Chaim speaks about humor. And the Chofetz Chaim says, you might think it's funny to make fun of someone and to mention things that he's done in the past, which are very amusing to all the people who are listening. But, he says, the halachas of Lashon Hara apply to humor as well. So he says, for instance, the example that the Chofetz Chaim gives in the notes in Be'er Ma'im Chaim is a Purim spiel. Right? Sometimes people make Purim spiels. What do they do? What do they make in a Purim spiel? They want it to be amusing. They want it to be funny. So therefore, they sometimes pick on things that people have said or people have done during the year. I remember my first year in Gates of Yeshiva, we had a Purim spiel on a Friday night 1 week. We had a guest, a possible donor to the yeshiva, a wealthy man who came from a non-Heimisha background, and he came to the yeshiva for Shabbos, and he spent Shabbos with the yeshiva, and then afterwards, obviously, they approached him for a nice donation, and on Friday night, we were davening Maariv, and it was Kabbalah Shabbos. And in fact, you know who the chazan was? Yisrael Fein, who spoke here last week. He was the chazan, yeah? And he went, Kelchai v'kayom, tomid yim lo'echoleinu lo'elovel, Baruch ato Hashem. The whole yeshiva is quiet, because he doesn't say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemau. And this man said, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemau. Yeah? And we all heard him, yeah? And it was very funny at the time. So on Purim, it got repeated. It came into the Purim spiel. And they put up a chazan. They said, Baruch Adonai Hashem, yeah? And then you hear this guy shouting, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemau. Yeah? And says the Chofetz Chaim, yeah, that Hilchos Lashon Hara applies on Purim the same as it applies on Yom HaKippurim. And the same the entire year. And if you're going to make chizuk of somebody, and you're going to mention something that he's done, because he didn't know the halacha, the one doesn't say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemau in Maariv. And if he would know about it, and if he would know that you're making fun about it, of him, he would be very embarrassed. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Purim spiels no teretz. We'll speak later about chasnas and graman as well.
Purim spiels don't count.
Nope, they count, but you have to keep the laws. Yeah, they're also subject to the laws of Lashon Hara. I know, it's not fun.
Right, good.
Is that alright?
Perfect, yeah.
Thank you. Oh, scary. Yeah. Start to go the tour away. Monday, Steph Azor Shani, 18th of March. Rabbi Daniel Roche, Lita Purim in Galilee. This week's tour will be sponsored by Nishma for us. Esther Brooker, Bartha, Barry, Lara, Sean, Rai, Kostas. The outside will be on Friday. Also, the school starts from the Chayolim, and we'll come to the Shabbat of him and the Heirot.
Amen. And that's at the end, we'll talk about it. Fine.
Okay. This morning.
Just sorry. Yeah, fine. Let's just. So Purim Gan Eden, keeping. Okay. Lots to say, but we know that. We know that the Ramban tells us, and as Yodua Meforos, I mean, you know, the Shtapas Ramban is one of the Makoros for it, but it's really back in Chazal. The Gan Eden has multiple meanings, or multiple times we get there. There's where neshamas go after they leave the body, but also there's another aspect of Gan Eden, which is this world when it is Mesukun. This world in its rectified state is a return to Gan Eden. It's Olam Haba. Effectively, it's the end of Yemos HaMashiach. It's Olam Haba. And we know that Megillas Esther is likewise the Sefer of the end of Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba. Because, here we go. Because, first of all, you have the Yalkut Shimoni, which says that Asida Namodes Li Bottle, there's going to come the time when all the Yomim Tovim are gone. And what does it say, the Yalkut? It says, however, Purim will be there. In a time when we've lost everything else, when we've transcended everything else, which must be after Yimayis HaMashiach, because we've seen to Paskin, it's Olam Kaminah Ganoye, Gelisas the Rambam Paskins. And yet, Purim will somehow outlast the others, which implies that there's something about Purim that has a relevance to Olam Haba that others don't. And on that basis, the Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Megillah, in Perek Beis, he puts Megillah together with Chanukah, but the end of Perek Beis, Yud Ches, says this, called Sifra Nevi'im V'chol HaKesuvim Asid in Libatel, Liyamayis HaMashiach. There will come a time when all the books of Nevi'im and Kesuvim are going to be gone. We'll have Chamisha Chum Shei Torah and nothing else. In Yemayis HaMashiach, Chutz Megillas Esther. Except for Megillas Esther, how do we know? Because it says that in the Perek Tes of the Megillah, V'yimei HaPurim Ha'ele Lo Yavru Misech HaYehudim, V'zichon Lo Yosem Mizarim. These days are never going to be lost. Never going to be lost, even when others will. So we see that there's a big issue. Purim is really the Torah. It's the world of the Avodah Hashem, of Gan Eden. And that needs some Havana. Of course, there's a lot more to, I mean, Gan Eden itself. The word Eden, right, is a word for time, as we've explained here before. It's a word for time, and very specifically a word for time in the future. It's the Ramchal tells us in Das Tunus already that anything you called we have a guf, we have a neshama, right? What we call a neshama in this world was the equivalent of a guf in Gan Eden, and will be la osid lavoi, right? So, you know, that's what he says. And there, there'll be another neshama above that. Had Adam not done the chait, he'd have moved upwards a whole level, so his neshama would have been the guf of the next level. And because he didn't, he moved downwards, and we leave Gan Eden, and on the way out, there's kosnos aura, there's garments of skin, and we crystallize into this physical flesh, and what we call a neshama would have been called a guf there. So, fine. So this is, okay, but the point is that the future state, you know, you got this machrekas, will Olam Haba have a guf or not have a guf? Lichora, they're both reconcilable. There will be a guf, but it will be very, very transcendent. It will be what we call today a neshama. Either way, the word Eden itself in Lashon HaKodesh has two meanings. It has the word idunim, pleasures, but its fundamental meaning is a word for time. The word zman does not appear in Torah. It appears in Koheles and other svarim later, but it doesn't appear in Torah. Eden is one of the words for time. When you want to say Avram is Oidenu Oimid Lifnei Hashem, he's still standing before Hashem. Or in Koheles, Asher Aden Loi Hoya, right, that they're not yet come into being. So Eden is like a Gan of all time. It's a garden where you gather all of time. And what that means is, in all cultures, gardens where you gather things, right? A zoological garden is where you put animals. It's a zoo, right? A botanical garden, you plant. Somehow Gan Eden is like all of reality from a different dimension. It's like when you can see the whole picture at once. That's really what Gan Eden is. And that's why the end of time will be Gan Eden. We'll perceive all of reality at once. And of course, that's deeply relevant to the Megillah, because the whole point of the Megillah is that when you see everything at once, while you're going through the picture, it's terrible. It looks catastrophic. Eval God La Yehudim, Tsoim Uvachira, there's crying, there's all the lashonis at the beginning of the fourth parak. That mispaid, Sakfa Efer, etc. That's during the process. And when we get to the end, it's La Yehudim Oysair of Simcha Sosim. This is where we're up to. Even that's not even the end, but it's already enough. But the Ramazan to Gan Eden are much deeper than that, because as the Gra points out already, the key events take place in the Chatz Aginas Bisan HaMelech, in the garden of the king, right? The chutz of the garden of the king. That, of course, is Gan Eden. On a Remez level, that means at that moment in the Megillah, we were touching things in Gan Eden, including things that went wrong and including things that went right. And the Ramazim, of course, the whole story is what in Gan Eden is what comes off the eights. And in the Megillah, it's what's going to go back on. This is... And so on and so forth. Haman min atoira minayin, asks the Gemara. Where's Haman come from? He comes from Gan Eden. Hamina itza shati visicha levilti achol mimena achalta. So let's try to understand Lefi, a little bit of a beginning of a Havana in what's some of the Oymek is. I want to touch on something we've said here before a number of times on Purim, but since it's quite a few years ago, even if we remember, it's good to chazer it, right? But this is Sifsei Chaim really brings it out. It's Be'etzem in many, many other Svarim, already back in the Megillah itself and in Chazal. But the real yesod of the Gilui of Purim that makes it stand out beyond all the other Moedim is simply the Gilui of Einod Mavadoi. Every other Yom Tov, every Moed in the Torah, commemorates the moment where the Gilui Hashem, the revelation, was so strong it overrode evil. It destroyed Ra. Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in, destroys Paroi. Sukkos, we're in a dangerous situation. He Sukkos Shavti B'nei Sol, B'Hoitzi, Oysa Meretz Mitzrayim. Shavuos, he comes and reveals the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come into the world, change the natural order, and reveal things. If necessary, destroy evil in the process. But in Purim, there's no Gilui Hashem, no direct moment of Gilui Hashem, no Nes, right? Ayelas HaShacha. So, but there's no Nesim, no Gil Hashem, no, therefore no use of the Shem Hashem, right? That's as Kayadua. But instead, we have the greatest revelation of all. This is the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the revelation is engineered by Haman. That is the real Yesod of the story. That the only person who could reveal Hashem in the whole story was Haman, because nobody else can do anything. Achashverosh can't repeal his own law. Esther can't get to Achashverosh, even when she finally does. He said, I can't repeal things. Mordechai at one point can't even get to the Shah HaMelech. So everybody's frozen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do Nisim. And in that world where the only person who had any power has all the power, and the only person who makes decisions for six prokim of the Megillah, there's only one person who really makes the decisions, and he makes all the decisions, is Haman. He's the one who says, let's get rid of the first queen and give her Malchus L'Ru'usa Tova Mimena, the colleague who's better than her. Which you know is the remez to, it is Esther obviously, but it's the remez back to Shaul and Agag. Do you know this? Because that's the phrase that Shmuel Anavi says to Shaul HaMelech. The Malchus will be given the Re'echa Tov Mimeko. So Shaul fails to kill Agag. The Malchus, he loses Malchus with that phrase. Centuries later, Agag's great-great-great-grandson wants to kill Klal Yisrael, and Shaul's great-great-granddaughter's the great-great-grandson of Agag puts Shaul's great-great-granddaughter back in with the same phrase. That is... Okay, that's another whole discussion, but just had to point that out. But the... where was I? Yeah, so everybody's frozen, everybody's paralyzed. Haman is the one who decides, basically, to put Esther into the mouth. He doesn't know what he's doing, but he's pushing Esther into the position. Haman is the one who comes up with this idea of lo yavar, of irrevocable decrees. Haman is the one who comes up with all the strange things in the first perek. Haman is the one who, of course, restructures the economy so that it can have the destruction of Klal Yisrael. Haman's the one who wants to kill Klal Yisrael. Haman even is the one who decides how to reward Mordechai. Achashverosh doesn't make decisions. Everything is lifnei yodei das v'din, lifnei yodei itim. He doesn't make decisions. He brings in PR teams and legal teams. He doesn't. For six brok in the Megillah, he doesn't make a single decision. And Haman makes all the decisions. And in a world, and Haman has the Saras HaTabas, the ring of law is given to him. He's the only one who can make the laws. And of course, the remez that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running the show is always when instead of using the word HaMelech HaShveirosh, he used the word HaMelech, Kayadua. And when it comes to the Hasaras HaTabas, the handing over the ring, it doesn't say V'yosa HaMelech HaShveirosh, HaTabas, it's V'yosa HaMelech. Right, the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hands the ring to Haman. So this is a world now where Ra is running the world, evil is running the world, absolutely unimpeded. Nothing can get in its way. Nothing. Nothing will get in its way. No Nisim, and that's why the beginning of the fourth parak starts with the third pasuk of it is Chol Medina Medina Mekayim Asher Tavah Melech V'Dosim Agir Evil God Le'Hudim. It's very easy to almost not notice this because we're so used to the end that we forget how horrific it was in the middle. It's so desperate that Tzoyim of Chiyum mispaid, they're doing Hespedim. There's no possible natural solution, and there's not going to be a supernatural solution. So therefore, they're in Avelus, and they already started the Avelus. Well, you normally do Avelus after, but there's not going to be anybody after, so they start the Avelus and they start the Hespedim. That's what they're doing. Sakvei Yitzharabim. And when Esther eventually decides she's going to go in, and Lech Kenos Kolei Hudim Tsumu Alai, and she'll come to the Melech Hashaloi Kados, against the law, so the overt meaning is against Persian law, but as Chazal tell us, Shaloi Kados means they didn't have matzah and wine on Seder night. Shaloi Kados, Eis La'asal Hashem. They probably sat and talked about Yitzias Mitzrayim, but they Shaloi Kados. That's how desperate it was. 3 days fasting included, well, from Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesov. They fasted over Seder night. So that's the situation. And then the next morning, or 2 mornings later, they look up and there's this gigantic superstructure and Haman is dead. How in a world where he's the only one making all the decisions does he end up dead? And the Teretz says he killed himself. Because it's only, he died because he committed the only crime he could possibly commit, which was treason. Because his decree to kill Lashmi Laharigul Abed, to kill all the Yidden, included the queen. And who got the Jewish queen there in the first place? He did. So every lever he pulls, which at the time looks like it's the Iskabras, the power of evil getting stronger and stronger and doing more and more damage, and in the short term it is, in the long term is actually a process of its own destruction and the Gilui Hashem. And the power of that is that when good reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem does a nason reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he reveals that he's more powerful than Ra. When Ra itself can do nothing but reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it reveals Einoid Movadoi, there's nothing but Hashem. That's it. And that's why every detail of the story involves Haman. How did he die? On the gallows. Who built the gallows that he dies on? He did, right? And he made it, the decree can't be repealed, which means everybody who wants to kill Klal Yisrael is going to assemble on that day. And the only solution is the Persian army is waiting. They've been Rabman, Amos, Yadim, they're all joining on our side. And that's it. He basically arranged the annihilation of everybody who wants to kill us. He arranged effectively that the next parak is going to be the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's it. He does the whole story. All the Gilui Hashem happens through him. This is some of the oimek of, says Ziv Sechaim, some of the oimek of Chayav initially Besumei, Adaloyada Ben Araham Navarach Mordechai. The Besumei is meant to be the Nichnas Yayin, the wine goes in, Yotza Soid, the deep secret comes out. Because we look at a world of Shivim Ponim, there's 70 faces, it's this, it doesn't make any sense. But at the deeper level, it's all one. It's all revealing in Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why Yayin is Gematria 70. And we use that Yayin, and that's why every story in the Megillah takes place in a world of wine as well, as is brought in the Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch. And that's why Soid is Gematria 70. Right, the Nichnas Yayin Yotza Soid means we get to the point where all the ponim of the world are really one. And Ad Deloyada Bein Oro Haman of Aruch Mordechai, because in the end they're all Megala Hashem. And that's a power of revelation that is accessible on Purim that will be the story La'asid Lavoi. Okay. But let's go a little bit further than that. Because, of course, that was the world of Gan Eden, Koidem Achet. Koidem Achet, as we're told, there was no Zuama of the Nochash, there was no poison of the snake or slime of the snake inside us. And therefore, Koidem Achet, all there was Einoid Uvada. There's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch. All they had to do was just acknowledge that, really. And that would have been it. That's it. It would have been the completion of all of Maisa Bereishis. And instead, we chose the Oid Muvadoi. What does the Nachash say? V'yisem kelekim, you'll be like God. L'das tovara. There'll be another. There'll be in the Tachtoinim a power that is an alternative. And that really is, if you look at the process of what happens in Gan Eden, you look at the process of what happens. So first of all, the Nachash says there can be Oid Muvadoi. There can be you. And then what happens is as soon as they start thinking there might be something to that, immediately the world of Taiva enters. Because Vatera Isha ki Toiva eats Lamacha Vachit Tava Hule Naim, it's the world of Taiva. Nechmad eats Laskil, etc. And she, that's it, she eats it. And then what happens is they hear the Kol Hashem Elokim Misalach Baganu Ruach Hayoyim Vayischabe. The next thing is they go hiding. And then the word comes out, Ayeka, where are you? And then he says, I'm hiding. And then HaKadosh Baruch says, Mi yigid lecha ki erem ata hamina yitzashet tzivisicha levilti achom men achalta. Did you eat from that tree? And all of these processes are basically why we begin the Megillah. The idea of being, what the Rambam tells us, the chet of Adam Arishon was the decision to become the center of reality. Right? V'yisem ke'elokim ladas tov v'ra. You'll be God. Rambam even says tov and ra is a feeling. It's not emes and sheker. Koidem achet, there was a world of truth and falsehood. Truth was rotz and Hashem. Falsehood was anything else. After the chet, it feels good or it feels bad. Right? Again, something we've spoken about here before. That we describe right and wrong by how it makes us feel. This is good. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. This is amazing. It makes me feel good, beautiful, wonderful, or amazing. I am the center of reality. If it makes me feel good, it's good. If it makes me feel bad, it's bad. Bad, disgusting, horrible, revolting. It makes me feel those things, it is those things. Each, and at that moment, as the Mekubalim bring, Adam is no longer able to be one neshama. Every part of Adam wants to be the center of reality. As the Nachash says, V'nifku chaynechem, your eyes will be opened. You will all see reality through your little eyes. And now there's billions of pieces, growths, broken, whatever you want to call them, of Adam. Achashverosh is the quintessential and ultimate self-centered person, right? Who is petrified of the Kol Hashem Elokim. The Gra even says he's the emblem of the Yetzirah. Personifies it, right? His exact fear is the Kol Hashem Elokim Misalach Baganu Ruach Hayoyim, that the voice of God will re-enter the world. He's petrified there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. Ad chatzi amalchus v'seals, we'll do up to half, but loy dov achotz amalchus, the Gemara says. Not the Beis HaMikdash. Can't do that. He built Shushan HaBira. There's only two places in Nach called Bira. The Beis HaMikdash and Shushan. He wants the alternative. I don't want the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the center. I want the world of me at the center. And everything is a celebration of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to come back into the world. There won't be a Beis HaMikdash. The Kelim, Kelim Shoinim, wearing the big day kahuna. This is what he is. In his subconscious state, he is petrified of the voice of God walking into the world. He's the center of reality. And once that happens, Taiva, the whole Sudas Achashverosh is Male Taiva. Taiva Sachila, Taiva Shkia. They were Erumim. They realized the state of being Oroim, and that's what he wanted to happen too. He wanted Vashti to come, Bekesa Malchus, and the Gemara says nothing else. And Vashti recognizes certain boys, this is the Nochosh. She looks in the mirror and she sees tails and the Tzoras. That's the Nochosh. She sees, this is what I am now. I've become the Nochosh. She refuses and he kills her. Of course, that's the Misa coming into the world through the Nochosh. It's dramatic. We need the build up for this. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ayaka. And of course, in the Megillah, we get Eichacha Uchal V'ra'isi. And of course, then Adam hides. And Achashverosh is hiding. The Medrash tells us, the Medrash Rabbah, that in the first six prokim of the Megillah, every single state of mind of Achashverosh is prefixed by the letter Ka. I said this here before as well once. Every single one. Ka Shevas HaMelech HaKiseh Malchusay. It's like he's sitting comfortably. In the Pshutish Amikri, you could read it as when he was. But the real Oymek is, he wasn't comfortable. He was paranoid. He thought he doesn't really deserve to be the king. He's pretending, I'm sitting so comfortable. I'm wonderful. He's not. It's like he's calmed down after Bezachas Vashti. He hasn't forgotten her. He hasn't calmed down once. Every single thing is fake in Achashverosh world. And in that world, Haman is born. Hamina eats. When we make ourselves the center of reality and we create false personalities around it, then the voice of Hashem can't enter. Then the voice of Hashem sounds confused. Hamin ha'etz ha'shetzi v'sicha levilti ha'chomen. Did I command you? Is it from the tree you ate? The moment Hashem sounds to us confused, the moment the gap is so far away, is the moment Haman is born. The possibility of man being so self-centered and so far away from the Devar Hashem that all evil can now enter the world. Haman min haTorah minayin. Where's the root of Haman? Obviously not the physical Haman, but where's the root? It's in the first time those letters occur, when Hashem himself sounds confused. So what is the tikkun? What's the mahalach in tikkun? Here I want to move over to Yesod. I haven't seen a makarfa. I heard it from a shir from Rabbi Weinberger, but I think it's the Pshuto Shel Mikra of the Megillah. In Perek Zayin, first of all, you'll notice that when we really have the Yesod of Bitochon that runs all the way through the Megillah is so powerful. Because really one of the great lessons of the Megillah is if you have real Bitochon, you never have a real plan. Haman has the plan. Mordechai originally comes to Esther with a plan, and she tells him it's a bad idea, and he doesn't come back with a plan. He says, but you got to do something. You can't be in the palace and do nothing, right? Because we have bitachon, the Revach HaTzol, Yamed LaYehudim Mokemacha, because history is going to work out, we all have to play our role in it. Again, we've spoken about this before. So because it's going to, that's exact. If it wasn't going to work out, I'd say sit in the side and wait for an ace. But because it's going to work out, we have to make sure we're in. We have to be a part of this amazing story that's going to happen. Even if it means we get killed walking into the king. And Mordechai has no plan. And Esther also has no plan. The Gemara in Megillah, it's Daf Tesvot, where Chimara asked Esther, what was she seeing to invite Haman? 10 different answers are given over several hundred years. Until Eliyahu Navi comes and says, it was all of them. It's not possible. One of them includes her getting killed. One of them, right? It means she doesn't know. She's putting the pieces together and Hashem's going to run it. The most amazing thing, by the way, you know, we love to always figure out exactly where we are in history. This is exactly this and this is exactly that. And this, because this happened, this is going to happen. You'll notice when Mordechai gets schlepped around the town by Haman the whole day, you or I would have said, oh, you see, the Ashkoch has entered the world. We don't need to do it. He goes straight back to the Shah Melech, puts back his sackcloth, goat. That's what he's got to do. The Avoid hasn't changed. I don't read Sim on him. HaKadosh Baruch is running the world. Who knows what the plan is? I only need to know what have I got to do. That's my only question.
Halachically, would she have been allowed to kill him?
Kill who? Haman? Absolutely. But anyway. Yeah, exactly. For somebody could have done. So, but here, listen to this. The key moment of the story. When Achashverosh says to her, who? This is preposterous. Who's instructed this crazy thing? What's going on over here? I never heard such a thing. And she has an amazing response. Instead of saying, Haman hara hazeh, she looks him in the eye and says, Ish, tsar, v'oyev. She lets, for three words, which must have felt like eternity, she's looking him in the eye. The Gemara says, a malach has to come and give her a little slap. Remember to get on with the Haman bit, you know. Oh, Haman hara hazeh. What's she doing? She's looking him in the eye and she's saying to him, stop lying. Stop pretending. But why? Let him lie. He's trying to get himself out of it. She could have said, I'm sure you had nothing to do with this. He faked your signature. This evil guy, come on. Why does she look him in the eye? But that's the aside. So long as you live, Achashverosh, in the world of Sheker v'Chozov, where everything is fake, in that world you can't deal with reality. In that world, Klal Yisrael can't survive. I need to risk everything to get you to stop pretending and stop playing games. We know that there's no way that happened without you. He was Mesir the Tabat. He gave over the ring to say, I could deny it. Stop the denial. And watch what happens to Achashverosh for the first time in the entire Megillah. V'kam ha-melech b'chamasai. He gets up in his anger. He doesn't go to ask the Yodei Das V'din. He doesn't go to ask the Yodei Itim. For the first time in the Megillah, he walks out by himself. And the Gemara says the Malachim came and they showed him the Haman people smashing the place up, which means he suddenly got the Hakara of how destructive this whole thing has been for him. All his little games have been doing nothing. All his pretending he's happy. Any one of us, we all have this struggle. And all that little me, I'm the center of reality. I don't want to let Hashem run my life. I want him to do the things I want, not the other way around. I play my little games and my little persona, my little self-centeredness, and it just creates destruction all over the place. And amazingly enough, he comes back in having realized all this. And then Harvoina steps in and says, Talu'ala, fine, we'll hang him on the tree. V'chamas ha-melech shechocha. For the first time in the Megillah, there is a state of mind of Achashverosh, not prefixed ka. It's for real. He's calmed down. And two psukim later, Esther can bring Mordechai in front of him. The man who was so paranoid until now of everybody. Ki gida Esther mahula. Esther has told Achashverosh now what Mordechai is to her. Could you imagine? Two psukim earlier, he'd have had him killed straight away. Mahula. Well, he raised me as a child. Actually, we've been married all this time. I've been leaving the palace every night. You know, but he's not threatened. He can deal with reality now. It's an incredible change. Lefi those days that Achashverosh changes permanently, then this is mamash the moment. Lefi the days he returns, that's another story. But this is what happens. And only in that world can she then be boicha mischanen and cry for Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael gets saved. Okay, there's a lot more to say, but just to deal. And of course, in that world, Haman goes back onto the eights, which is the Gevurah Chamishim Ama. We now go back into the Gan Eden and do the tikkunim that are needed. Instead, we eat the Eitz HaChaim, we eat the Tree of Life. Kimu v'kibul Yehudim, we accept the Torah. La'yehudim ha'isa oira v'simcha, all instead of experiencing the avoid of the mitzvahs, now the direct experience is the or. We don't even experience that we're learning Torah, we just experience or. We don't experience that we're not doing malacha, we experience simcha. Don't experience that we're doing mila. Right, the Gemara Sosanei, when it says Oira v'Simcha v'Sosan v'Yakar, the Gemara shows it's Torah, it's Yom Tov, it's Bris Mila, it's Tefillin. But we don't experience these things. We experience the direct Ar Hashem. That is open to all of us. This is Kimu v'Kibul Ayudim Aleim Al Zaram. These days that we touch are days when we mamash walk back into Gan Eden. Ad Delo Yada, beyond the Eitz Hadas, all the way into the Eitz HaChaim. And the glimpse that we're given is mamash a glimpse of Gan Eden. Because this is exactly what will be La'asid Lavoi. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zoicha to this, and many other Dvarim and Ifloim and Historim that are written in here, and Yeshua Sunacham Su'ul Klal Yisrael, Ayudim Ayisar, Vesim Chav Zosam, Yikar Kein Tiyah Lanu B'meir V'Yameinu. Is that a catch? What's that? Yeah, yeah. Well, that, after that, they might have built the Beis HaMikdash. Is there a Kaddish now?